Tremendous atmosphere here tonight. Matt Boyle just needs this one to win the entire tournament. Boyle steps up to the hockey. And 180!
Introductions.
Really?
Riveting though. Riveting stuff.
I came up with that on the way here.
You did. I think I did some of my best Foley work. I hope it doesn't hear that, like there's a ghost
in your
ears.
I thought that was wonderful. Yeah, yeah.
Or the sea.
So, a special introduction for a special episode, 180.
180 episodes of Thomas and Matthew.
Attack.
Assault.
Assault.
Oh yeah, shit. I've forgotten the name of the podcast. Tom. It's been 2 weeks. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you doing?
I'm okay. I've got a big cup of lukewarm tea.
Oh, mine's very nice.
Yeah, yours is fresh. There is also Welsh cakes, appropriately shaped like Pac-Man ghosts in front of us.
So it's been a fun week, video games. A lot's been discounted because it's that Black Friday
Yeehaw.
Week.
Nothing I bloody won.
Yeah, I looked through. I did buy couple of things. Yeah. You know what I bought in the Black Friday
sales?
What
did you buy in the Black Friday sales, Tom Parry?
But two copies of For Honor at $12.99.
Right, so one for you, one for Gareth.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's hope Gareth doesn't listen to this
Shit!
Podcast.
I mean, one for me, obviously.
I don't think he does.
No, okay.
I bought the Xenoverse 2 Special Edition, which I think used to be hundreds of pounds because it comes with a statue. I say hundreds. It used to be at least 100.
This is Dragon Ball Z Xenoverse.
Yeah,
right?
Xenoverse 2. So I've got that for £50. So that was pretty good.
Okay.
Although then I saw in a PlayStation store you can get the game for like 15.
Yeah, this was kind of my Black Friday revelation that I'd gone to GameStop here with like... I should mention in the time since we last podcasted, I fractured both of my... two of my fucking ribs. So I'm slightly crippled at the moment.
It's not because you've been boxing.
No, it isn't. I was out doing physical activity. I was out running and I run down a dark path and...
Somebody punching the ribs.
Yeah, someone punched me in the ribs. They were like, Welshman! Smack. No, I tripped and fell in the darkness and fortunately landed on sand and not concrete because I could have landed on a number of things because it's a children's playground I was running through.
Never run through a children's playground.
Never run through a... never run through anywhere in the dark is my winning advice because I was trying to get my phone out to shine a light on the path and... If I had not run that way, I would be fine. And there was a moment when I was going to run that way where I was like, I could just run up the bridge and that would be fine. But that would cut an extra kilometre off my run and it's quite cold and I'm quite in the mood to run more. So I turned and injured myself.
Everything in hindsight.
Yeah.
Though,
so I hobbled up to GameStop with my ribs in absolute
agony.
Give
me some good deals.
Looking for a good deal because I couldn't take any painkillers because we'd been celebrating Thanksgiving with friends and... Painkillers and alcohol don't mix. And unfortunately for me, our good friend Anthony Palmero was just being like, have some of my rum! And so I was like, yeah, cool, I'll have some of that rum. That'll be fine. So I went to GameStop and they had some good deals. They had like Yakuza 0 for 150 krona. They had Witcher 3 for like 189. Yeah. And a few other bits that I was like, oh, well, these are actually all right prices. Mm. Lo and behold, though, I got home and then I looked on the PlayStation store and all of them were like, I don't know, like 30, 40 krona cheaper.
I don't think Yakuza
Except Yakuza Zero, but they only had one copy of that anyway and it was gone.
Yeah. Yeah, there were a couple of good deals on there. I mean, the copy of For Honor I got from Shop 2 was cheaper than PlayStation Store.
Yeah.
Was cheapest copy anyway. For some reason, I don't think that game did very well.
I think
it's very unique though, and that's why I want to take a punt on it.
Right, I think that game is kind of like Rainbow Six Siege in a lot of ways. It is Ubisoft to put it out, right? Mm. Ubisoft seems to be delving into at the moment making games that don't necessarily sell shit tons of money, but have very loyal communities who then themselves pay dividends on. by microtransactions and characters and DLC.
Yeah, I know there's quite a bit of that for Honor. And, yeah. They've just announced some new stuff.
But it's also the same for The Division, for example. Mm. A lot of people are apparently still playing The Division. Rainbow Six Siege has just got a new season announced of new things. Mm. So you can like phone hack people and do other things. Like, they seem to be doing very well with like niche games and games as a service. Mm-hmm. In a way that they're not really bragging about, or they're not over-monetizing the hell out of their game like, say, Battlefront 2 seems to be doing at the moment.
Yes.
It's interesting. So I imagine there will be a good community. The only issue you might find, as two people going into it new, is that a lot of people have been playing that game now for about a year and are probably very good at it if they've stuck with it.
Well, let's see how that goes. It was cheap enough to...
Take a gamble on,
yeah, because I thought the concept was really unique, actually. Of everything that's been coming out lately, I thought that was quite...
Well, I mean, it seems to be quite depth. There seems to be quite a lot of depth
to it,
right?
Combat. It's hand-to-hand combat, isn't it? But with massive amounts of depth and strategy.
A lot of fighting game mechanics around it, from the looks of things.
Well, that was one of the deciding factors in my picking it up. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll let you know eventually.
Yeah.
In a future podcast, what that's like. I have been playing a lot of Sonic Forces lately, which I didn't pick up in the Black Friday sale.
No, Tom. I asked one very specific thing of you, and I knew you'd forget.
I'm sorry.
It's unfortunate.
Can I draw you a picture?
You can draw me a picture.
So Matt's talking about my avatar for Sonic Forces.
I had asked Tom Parry to print out a picture of
his avatar. I can draw
avatar.
It as well as, hopefully.
You can, but you will have to paint a picture... with words for our listener, because obviously you drawing on a post-it note is not very great for our listener. Oh, wow, look at that. You are quite adept, not inept, sorry, at drawing Sonic characters very easily. Okay, so...
I've drawn a few.
What you've drawn me so far looks very much like a hedgehog with a fang.
Now, it looks a bit like Knack the Weasel, if you remember him. I don't know if you're
familiar
with that character. Now, of course, he's a modern Sonic character, so they always have these lanky bodies.
Yes, he's very, very thin and gangly.
This one's got his... I'll draw the most... Because you can dress them up in different costumes.
Okay, you've got fingerless gloves in there for added
They're
attitude.
Actually robotic hands.
Oh, really? Okay, interesting.
Let's do him doing something.
You don't have to, Tom, it's okay. But he's got that very, like, Sonic-y bit of his face coming out.
I'll tell you now, he's actually a wolf.
Okay.
So you can pick what you want. You can pick a wolf or a bear or a bird or
Is that a really weird nipple you're drawing?
Or a hedgehog. No, it's his chain belt.
Okay, he's got a chain belt. Right, okay.
Yeah. And then... This is kind of how lanky they are as I'm drawing this.
Cause
imagine it in your headlessness.
Because the length Tom has drawn this character is almost human-like proportions, but with a very Sonic character head. So imagine you copy-pasted Sonic the Hedgehog's head onto a very thin
drawing,
frame.
But...
I don't think you are. Believe it or not, you work for a giant company as a graphic designer, so I'm taking your image at face value.
I forget about this bit. Face value, not the Phil Collins album.
No, not the Phil Collins album at all. Okay, so he's got a furry chest with like X of chains as a belt.
Yeah, what this is sort of like a tribal like black tattoo thing that is like bodysuit.
Okay.
So it means he's got black legs, he's got like his body is purple, but there's a flame coming up above the belt. It's like an all body tattoo.
Yeah.
And then he's got sort of something like that next to one of his eyes. He's got blue eyes.
Okay.
I think. And he's like a light pinkish, purplish shade.
Okay.
Oh, and now actually, I forgot about this, I gave him a cowboy hat, so he looked even more like Knack the Weasel.
Oh, I was going to say, I was actually going to ask you originally, does he have a cowboy hat like Knack the Weasel? Because you had failed to draw one. Wow, that is a beautiful illustration, Tom Parry. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a picture of this and post it to the Tom and Matt Attack Twitter,
it's
which
my
is
OC.
At TMAcast. It's Tom Parry's original character, please do not steal. And... I want you to take a screen
grab.
You can
make him if you want. That's a challenge. Remake him in Sonic Forces if you want a challenge.
I
want
to see your actual character so I can put these side by side.
I want to just write here what colours things are. So people
No, that's fine. No, you don't have to. No, leave it to their imagination.
Oh,
they can do it themselves.
If you listen to the podcast, you'll have picked up on the
I also think asking them to create that character themselves in Sonic Forces is a tall ask, as nobody probably bought that game.
Which is a terrible shame. It's a lot of fun. I've really been enjoying it, actually.
Okay. This is the reverse of what I feared from most people.
There's a level of quality in the design and the visuals, which is particularly high, I'd say.
Right.
The initial presentation, some of the menus and such, and the overall story setup are a little bit underwhelming,
okay,
I would say. But the setup is, it's the middle of a war. Robotnik's taken over 99.9% of the planet.
Yeah.
Mobius, it's still called Mobius, I don't know anymore. But it's up to you, and you, as actually your created character, to join forces with the rest of the bunch. You know,
I see what they did there.
Yeah, to help, because Sonic has been taken captive.
Oh, no!
By Robotnik. And it's all very dramatic, because at the beginning, Tails isn't there, and Silver, who's now a good guy, apparently. I think he was a bad guy in one of the other games.
Okay, yeah, he's the Silver Hedgehog,
there's a trend
right?
of this. They begin as bad guys, then come good guys. Like, Shadow was a bad guy, now he's a good
Knuckles
guy.
Knuckles was a bad guy, now he's a good guy.
Happens to every
Rouge
Sonic.
The Bat, yep, kind of.
They're all working together. Okay. Basically, and Tails is distraught because Sonic's been taken out.
Yeah.
Right? To the point where Silver says that Tails has lost it. He's just lost it. Very seriously.
Oh, no.
Tails has just lost it, you know. And then you find out that Sonic's being tortured on Robotnik's death egg.
Oh, this is a bit grim. Yeah.
Right? Oh, my Lord, yeah. And so as your original character, you've got to go and save Sonic.
Okay.
And then you get to play more as Sonic. But up to that point, you actually also get to play as the classic Sonic, who's teamed up with Tails after Sonic.
Oh, right, okay, so this is part of this Sonic Generations universe.
And you know what
then?
Sonic says to little Sonic?
What?
When he sees him? Haven't seen you in generations.
Oh,
Sonic, you...
Oh, no!
Clever guy.
Oh, is it though?
You got it. You know,
is it clever, or is it just like the worst line of dialogue you've ever heard in a video game?
It may be. But it's great. Do you know, you could
no,
really say this stuff is badly written, but it's incredibly entertaining to
watch. So you're telling me that the writing in this game is akin to, say, like, I don't know.
It's not terrible.
A B-movie.
I wouldn't say it's any worse than any other writing in any other Sonic game has ever been.
Is it like Dollman level of Tim Thomason quality?
I'm enjoying this a lot more than I enjoyed Dollman.
Okay. So would you put it up there with, like, Snatcher? Not Snatcher. What's it bloody called? The other Tim Thomason thing.
Oh, Trancers.
Trancers.
Yeah, yeah.
See,
definitely
I wasn't that far
of Trancers standard.
Okay.
As we reference obscure B-movies.
Okay. Yeah, but I mean, you know, if there is someone out there who does, like, obscure B-movies, they're like, okay, it's more of a Trancer.
It's totally
I get this.
Gone this way of overly dramatic original characters. You know, it's very much trying to appeal to this fan base of Sonic, the very extreme fans,
the very hardcore.
Yeah, but it does it in a way which is accessible to others as well. And
okay,
having been a fan of Sonic since a kid, and I used to read all the Sonic the comics, I'm used to a sort of dramatic tension in Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, okay,
but it is reasonably well balanced with a bit of humor here and there.
Okay,
it's very direct, very. I've said this to you off the podcast, very streamlined, very quick levels, okay, but very impressive levels. They may be over in a couple of minutes, some of them, but they're the amount of detail and design has gone into the levels.
Yeah.
Well, the level design itself isn't particularly, it's not as clever as Sonic Mania's.
And this is where I was about to ask.
It's the graphical level of finesse within, and the experience of zipping through these areas is particularly exhilarating, especially when you're playing as your OC character, because he's got a lasso.
Any time you say OC, I think Orange County.
Yeah.
And that, in all fairness, it sounds like they have similar levels of teenage
angst
in them.
I could have just said OC, not OC character. It's not a term I've ever used very much, but I'm beginning to learn to. You've got like a device on your arm, which is upgradable.
Okay.
It's a lasso. It also acts as a weapon. In my case, it's a whip.
Okay.
When you originally start the game, it's a flamethrower.
Yeah.
So imagine going through a level as you would in any other Sonic game, but now you've got a lasso and a whip or flamethrower.
Okay.
Makes it very dynamic, very exciting,
mm-hmm.
and a little bit different than other Sonic games.
Okay.
Everything's comes together very well, and it's, I'd say it's a very quality product.
Right. Now the question that has been dividing the internet to some extent from what I've seen. Do you think in this 2017, the year of lots of good video games, Sonic Forces, a game made by Sonic Team with a ridiculous budget and a big team of developers, or Sonic Mania, a team made compromising of about five people?
Well, it depends. It really does
A very
depend.
Smaller budget.
Because...
Which of those is the better game, Tom?
I like both the games.
Yeah,
but I actually fall into a camp who appreciates the Sonic Adventure, post-Sonic Adventure stuff.
Right.
Because I kind of like that world that's been created since then.
It's not about liking or disliking either of them. I'm going
to
be clear on that.
You're just trying to get me to say which one's better.
Which one is the better game, Tom?
The better game is probably Sonic Mania as a whole. Right. With at least that's got some challenge.
Okay.
I think Sonic Forces is an incredibly enjoyable game that I like to play. Well, I'm relaxing.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's not too intense. So for that reason, I found playing it really nice and pleasurable.
Calming
experience. Yeah. Whereas Sonic Mania is an old school challenge.
Yeah.
You know, and to the point where I still haven't finished it, because every time I go sit down and do that last
you
level...
You are on the last level.
Something
you
happens.
Just do it.
You know, and something happens and I have to go and do something else, or someone calls me, or every time I've tried to do it, I've been interrupted. So, yeah, if you want an old school challenge, you know, then Sonic Mania, great all-round game. If you don't mind something light and fluffy and in line with those post-Sonic Adventure... feel, then and this is worth saying, right,
that you, while we're talking about this at lunch the other day off the microphone, you were saying that this game is incredibly easy.
Even hard.
Yeah.
Have you ever played a Sonic game before? If you haven't, you might want to do the easy mode.
Right.
If you have, then that's hard mode. Hard mode isn't hard. It feels like it should just be one difficulty for this game.
Yeah.
Because I'm up to level 14 or something. Bear in mind, these levels are quite short.
Okay.
And it hasn't really posed much of a challenge, especially since you seem to have infinite lives. So if you mess up a section, checkpoints are quite, you know, there's quite a lot of them.
Yeah.
So you rarely have to replay a level. There is an extra level of extra challenges, though.
Right.
So occasionally you get an SOS mission, which causes you to go back to an old mission and replay it with different winning criteria. And those are worth some extra challenges.
Okay.
Because if you die once, or if you don't do something in enough time, you'll fail the mission. So you've always got... You can play through the game and its story very easy, but if you want to go back to levels, there's extra challenge on all these levels that you can do. Also collecting the red star emblems as well. It's five on each level, you've got to find them. That's another incentive. The amount of gear that you get is great.
Well, I guess that's the main draw of the game, is to customize your character in the way you want.
It's reasonably easy to get, especially get an S ranking, because you get like double the gear then if you get an S ranking. And getting an S ranking isn't particularly hard.
Okay.
But it's a very satisfying feeling. Then you find yourself going back and forth between character creation to upgrade your character. And the other thing is there's daily challenges as well.
Yeah,
I find myself doing them because they're quite easy. Finish a Sonic level, for example, where you play as Sonic. Change a body part, change your hat, change your bodysuit or whatever it is, and you get extra bonuses and in turn extra items to customize your character. So I like the way it gives you a lot of extra content.
What system do you buy this for?
PlayStation.
Can I borrow it from you?
Yeah.
Because...
Well, not yet, because I'm really liking it.
Well, because looking at the video game website, howlongtobeat.com, which, you know, is a video game website, for those of you who don't know, I'm sure most of you do, that tells you how long a game takes to complete. And apparently Sonic Forces, the main story, is 3.5 hours long. Even with their completionist thing, which, for example, like The Witcher is like 60, 70 hours, and then completionist like 300, maybe something like that. Their completionist rating of getting 100% and getting absolutely everything you need to get in that game is about 7.
Yeah.
So
There is a lot of extra stuff to do.
I mean, in comparison to, say, Sonic Generations, their main story playthrough is rated at about 5.5 hours,
yeah.
And their completionist is closer to 22. Sonic Mania, even, the main story playthrough is 5 hours with the completionist around 20. So it does seem a bit light on the ground.
Initially, yes.
Jesus, apparently Sonic Adventures 2 is 10 hours for the main story and close to 40 for the extras.
Wow. I think, you know, as I play it and as I see the variety in the levels, you know, this isn't a game that repeats the same thing twice unless you go back and do the same level again.
Yeah.
There is a lot of design within these levels and a lot of variety. Yeah. So I think that's where they've spent the time in the development of the game.
Okay.
Because challenge isn't particularly high.
No, and obviously the length doesn't seem to be that long either. Would you say, in playing the game as you have at the moment...
Yeah. I'll finish it.
That you think 3.5 hours may actually be the right length for this game?
I have not a clue at this point. I mean, I wouldn't expect to be on level 14 after 3 plays.
No.
Of the game. So it seems like there's either a lot of levels or it's particularly short, which seems to be the case.
I mean, it was released almost as a budget title, right? It wasn't a full...
I got mine for £28, on Amazon.
I've seen the Switch version is about £30.
Yeah.
From looking at most places. I didn't actually check if it was part of any Black Friday
deals.
It was
about £30 most places you could buy the game for, yeah.
Okay. I will be curious to try
I'm going to finish it.
Because I honestly think you're probably very close to the end
because
of that
Because, by
game.
The way, I do finish Sonic games. Sonic Mania, not counting.
I was going to say, you haven't beaten Sonic Mania yet.
But I've beaten everything else.
That's true.
Ah?
Yeah, I'll give you that.
If I get a Sonic game, apart from Sonic Boom, that says a bit about Sonic Boom, doesn't
it? Yeah,
it
does.
I finished Lost World, and I finished Generations, and I finished everything prior to that.
I was there when you beat Generations.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm going to set the challenge to you then. Do your best at the end of this podcast in this weekend if you are free to finish that game.
I'll do what I can.
Take you very
I have
long.
Got a few others to play, but
and then let's see where you get up to. I started a game yesterday, the first one I've actually started in about 3 weeks. I played through a game called Boxing for the Game Boy.
Boxing
for the Game Boy.
Is it a boxing game?
It is a boxing game. If you've seen the latest biographic, Tom Parry, you will have seen it.
I haven't seen it, unfortunately.
You should check it out. It's It's published by a company called Tonkin House in Japan.
Too busy playing Sonic, what's it called, Forces?
Yeah. It's made by Tosei, who made countless video games over the years, even like that Dragon Ball Z game on the NES and hundreds of others in between.
Yeah.
It's published by Acclaim in America. It's good. But the only two purchases I've made this week related to video games have been more Tonkin House stuff, also made by Tosei. Because they did 5 games. They did one that came out here called Football International. They did one called Beach Volleyball Boxing, which came out as Heavyweight Championship Boxing.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like Punch-Out. You should check it out. It's an interesting looking game. And then a few others. But there's one called Roadster, which is pretty much a little bit Outrun-esque. And so I picked that up. It's quite an expensive game usually, but I managed to find it and a compilation of these sports games called, believe it or not, Sports Collection, for a very reasonable price when both of them are selling now for about £20 a cart each, and I picked them up for under £2. So I was quite happy with that.
Quid's in.
Yeah, but you know what's better than a £2 game, Tom Parry? A free game.
Yeah.
And by free, one you backed on Kickstarter, you finally got the bloody code for.
It's not free though, is it? You
after a long, long time. No, but I feel my payment of this game was justified because not only have I heard it's a very good game, but I also, if you remember way back when, got a little fanzine comic some buttons for it.
What was it called again?
It's a game called Night in the Woods.
Yes, that was it.
So I started it yesterday, not knowing what to really expect other than the art style, because naturally I liked the look of this game from the proof of concept trailer they released way, way back when. Shit, I backed this game. Must have been about 3 years ago now. We were still living in the Tom and Matt shack. And I really liked the look of it. The hand-drawn aesthetic of it looked really nice. They said it was going to deal with some serious issues, which at the time wasn't really anything most games I was playing were approaching.
Like Sonic Forces.
Like Sonic Forces. serious. Tails has lost it, man. And so I really wanted to play this game, so I backed it on Kickstarter. I really liked the visual style, and so I backed it for, like, I think it was only like 30 quid. But I got like a zine, and I got some buttons and stuff, and a really nice message from Scott, the creator of it, and that was all well and good. But I never got the code because I had a snafu where my email changed.
And did you sort of hassle them to get the game?
No, I didn't really have to. I contacted them back in... No, it came out in February. I contacted them back in February when it came out. And they were super quick to respond and said, hey, here's a code. But then immediately after that, they send out a mail to backers pretty much saying, like, hey, actually, it seems that the code... for some reason unlocks a version of the game that is an older version, so it's technically still like a beta version, so don't download that, because once you've redeemed the code, it will only ever download this beta version.
Oh, no, don't do that. That's so a don't massive do that. Mistake to have made, isn't it?
So they said, don't do that. If you have, contact us, we'll issue you with a new code. But I then held off, and they sent an email like 2 or 3 days later saying, okay, it's fine to download if you haven't downloaded it now. Bear in mind, this was still like 3 weeks before the game actually came out, so the backers still got it before them. And so I entered the code, and it didn't work, and I was like, oh, that sucks. That's a bit of a shame. So I sent them an email back, and I didn't hear anything. And this admittedly wasn't to the creators of the game like it was the first time. This was to some company that was handling the codes stuff.
Right.
And so I didn't hear anything back. And then I heard Scott, one of the creators, on the Giant Beastcast last week. And I was like, oh, actually, yeah, I forgot I haven't played Night in the Woods yet. I would really like to do that. And so I wrote them. And then like within like half hour, they were like, oh, yeah, shit, sorry. This is really bad. Here you go. Here's a code. So I downloaded it last night.
Phew.
It's a very interesting mood to that game. You play as a character called May, and she's a cat, and you start the game by getting off a bus and arriving in your hometown where you've come back because you've dropped out of college for reasons that are at the moment to me unexplained. And
dramatic animal story.
Yeah, but to be honest with you, kind of like, other than looking at them and going, oh, that's a really nice animal design, as I'm sure you would
the
same
as I do.
They act
like humans.
They act very much like humans, and they talk very much like people talk. The dialogue, from what I've seen so far, has been very well written. And even just the casual mannerisms of the animation are very expressive, but make them feel very real in a way that you don't necessarily expect, which is very nice.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so far, I only played about 15, 20 minutes, I think, because I played the initial segment of you getting home because your parents don't come to pick you up from the bus station where you get dropped off. And all there was at the start was essentially there was a small puzzle to solve in which I talked with the guy and I kept talking with him, bugging him. And he was like, okay, I'm fixing this door, go get me a sword.
In a point-and-click adventure type of way.
Not at all.
No?
Like a side-scrolling platformer, almost.
Oh.
So you go up to him and you talk with him using the square button, and then circle is to interact with objects. So talk there, interact with this. And so you have the option of scrolling through dialogue, and the start has a very Firewatch opening. You selecting things, and it was like, it starts very somber, and it's just like, on the day my granddad died. And then the next option is like, we had the worst flood since 1998, or these other things. There are events, and then that shapes the narrative that surrounds that.
Yeah, heavy.
But then it goes back into you being in this town and whatever. This is how it starts. It shows you that, and then you go to this bus station. But you talk to this guy using the square button, and then using circle, you have to go get him a drink from the vending machine. So you press circle to interact. And then almost like a comic, a panel shows up of the can dropping from a thing, and then you have to use the D-pad to move your hand up, and the hand moves like a comic, and then you have to press circle to grip it and then pull it back down.
Like a quick time event, sort of.
No,
in quick time.
You're completely controlling it. So you press up on the D-pad to raise the hand, and then as it goes over the can, it opens.
But you have to do particular actions to continue.
But then you just you press and hold circle, and it doesn't even explain that to you. You just go off. And you're like, okay, cool. That's how I do that. Yeah. It's very intuitive. Where you're showing you, okay, there will be puzzles you will have to interact with, and this is how you interact with those. Then you get out to the bus station. You give this can of cola to this guy who was so nonchalantly fixing the door. And then you go outside and you're like, oh shit, there's no car. My parents literally didn't come to pick me up. This really sucks. I guess I'll have to take the shortcut through the old playground that's across the thing. And so then it becomes a platformer of sorts. So you're going through
there. Did you say shortcut through the playground?
Yeah.
So watch out for those ribs.
Watch out for those ribs, man. You will fracture them. And so you go into this place and you walk and you realise, oh, there's actually a fence here. I need to do some jumping. And it's got an interesting jump mechanic of boop, boop. You pressing square to jump. And so you go one, two, and on your third jump, you'll jump higher.
Uh-huh.
And so it has logs in place that have a one and a two and a three on it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, okay, why one, two, three? So you jump on them, one, two, three, and then you're rhythm. The other job.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, cool. You can also press square to get hints, much like an adventure game. So if you're unaware of what to do, because the first two times I tried it, I was jumping on them one at a time and not hitting the rhythm. May says, like, oh, well, you know. Like, essentially, it kind of takes it out a bit in world of tutorializing then, of going like, oh, well, you're not getting the playful hints that we've put in the dialogue. We will just tell you you need to jump three times, which is kind of interesting. Yeah. But, yeah, and so I got back home. I talked to my parents, which is a very realistic conversation with the cat parents. And then you're like, oh, well, my friend's still here. I'm going to go downtown and see him because he works in this restaurant. And so as you're walking through the town, you can interact with people. And the dialogue choices are so interesting. It's just like, you know, you can say, oh, yeah, I'm back from college. Or, no, I dropped out of college.
Mm-hmm.
So you can try and hide the fact from certain people, or you can just embrace it. And it's like you talk with your neighbor and he's like, oh, Mr. Swenson or whatever his name is. He's like, oh, May, how are you doing? Da, da, da. You back home for the weekend? Yeah. Or he's like, oh, no, I dropped out of college. And then he goes, that's a shame. He goes, I always thought it said that you were the type of person who would do great things or would stay here forever, like, and not do anything.
Mm.
And he goes, I guess I can put that one to bed. And I was like, oh, man, what a fucking asshole. Wow. What a thing to say to a person. And she takes that super hard, and she, like, you know, like, does the arm rub thing of that a lot of people without a lack of confidence kind of do. And I'm like, man, what a douchebag. And I was like, I'm not going to talk to this guy again. And you make a judgment based on what they're saying.
These aren't fantastical situations. These are like real world situations.
No, this is very much like this person has dropped out of college. They're back in their hometown.
Yeah.
And you're...
There's nothing sort of paranormal about it or...
No. Not that I've experienced. Yeah. It seems very much slice of life. And like you're talking with people and they're like, oh, yeah, you still with so-and-so. And it's like, oh, no, we broke up about 3 years ago. He was cheating on me.
It gets worse.
I'm really like... I really don't give a shit about him anymore. I'm better off without him.
Do they swear?
I can't remember if they do. I don't think they do, but it wouldn't surprise me if they did. Because the dialogue is very, like, it feels very real. So I think if the situation called for it, you would probably see a character swear.
Mm.
But honestly, like, I've played 10, 15 minutes of it, maybe 20 at the most.
Sounds like quite a bit.
And it left a lasting impression.
Okay.
So I'm very much looking forward to playing more of it.
I wonder how it does develop.
I wonder if it gets very real with the whole reason she dropped out of college. And
you find out slowly a bit more about reasons behind it.
Is it drugs like an abusive relationship?
Oh, gosh.
Because you know what? Like this seems like, even though it is a world with animals, it seems like there could be very real story here. And the animals are just a way to do that, in the same way that, like, Mouse, for example, the comic about Auschwitz and surviving Auschwitz, uses animals to embody these things.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm very much looking forward to playing it. I don't know where it's going to go. Maybe it does go to the fantastic. Maybe it does go to these really dark places and, you know, questionable choices of humanity. Then
give it a go. It's Matt's pick of the week.
It is. It definitely my pick of the week. To be honest with you, maybe even in... potential for game of the year so far.
Wow, with only 15 honestly, minutes of gameplay, that's
it does a lot in those 15 minutes.
What about Mario?
So, let's see. Zelda, I mean, what about Nier? What about Wolfenstein? Yeah. What about countless other good games? What about Yakuza 0?
Mm-hmm.
that Thomas Barry.
You finished Zero, didn't you?
Yeah, of course I did. That is a conversation for another time.
Wow, we mentioned Yakuza.
We did. I mean, we already mentioned it once anyway. Oh, it was on sale, remember?
Oh, we have, yeah.
Yeah. But what have you been playing other than Sonic Forces? Anything, or...?
Well, Sonic Forces has been taking the majority of my time.
Jesus, that shows how much you've been playing games then.
I had picked up a few things. So I was back in the UK last weekend, hence why we didn't have a podcast.
You were?
I'd bought a couple of games I brought back with me. Marvel's Capcom 3.
Yeah.
Not 3. It's Infinite, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
3's the other one. Infinite, yeah. Which I haven't had a chance to play yet. I needed to free up quite a lot of space on my Xbox to even install that one.
Yeah.
I'm at that point now where I've got no room left, even though my Xbox has got a 500 gig. It's got 1.5 terabyte.
Yes.
In it at the moment. I think I can plug another external hard drive into it on top of the one I've already got.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a bit tricky when I get new games now. Anyway, so it was...
So your whole reason for going, oh, well, I'm going to buy this for the Xbox or PS4 is now null and void because both of them are full.
Well, PS4 is actually still going good, going strong at the minute. It's got 2 terabyte on it, so I think, yeah. So it's got a 2 terabyte hard drive in it, so that's got a bit of space left. So I also bought Super Lucky Tale.
Yes.
Which I, again, haven't had a chance to play yet. So there we go. I'm going to sample them this weekend, and I'm going to do a Paris Pickups on that. So if you're interested in finding out a bit more about those games, then do check out the Blast Process YouTube channel where you can see the latest Paris Pickups, which will be the last one from Denmark, because at the end of this week I won't have a computer. So
no, oh yeah, it's true. Yeah.
So be sure to check out that one.
Yeah.
I also picked up, before I left for the UK, I was in Blue City here in Denmark, and I picked up a copy of, what's it called? Dead Island for the Xbox One.
Yeah.
The remastered collection for 50 kroner.
That's all right.
I thought I'd worth a go for
they
that They
actually
price.
Had a Black Friday deal in there yesterday that was 10% off everything in store, and I had planned to go there to buy one of the copies of Horizon they had.
Yeah.
I was like, well, it was 220 kroner anyway.
Yeah.
With 10% off, it puts it under 200 kroner, and that seems like a good price for that game.
Yeah.
Fortunately, they were all gone. So
all gone. Yeah. Oh, sorry,
it's all right.
Matthew.
In all fairness, it's, what, like 20 hours I'm not going to spend in playing a game that, in all fairness, from the sounds of what I've heard, seems like a very good world, but not very enjoyable gameplay. So it's all right.
Well, did and you no, before you go on?
What? No, what are you going to say? Go on. It's all right.
I
did
thought,
I? What?
Before we continue, I was wondering if you got Bloodborne, didn't you? Played that?
I did. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's on sale as well.
It is on
£12.
Yeah, not bad. I had actually seen a spare physical copy of that in a shop around here for about 50 kroner the other day, pre-owned. Wow. But I went back today and all the PS4 games they had gone. Which is a bit of a shame. I guess someone had snapped them up at those prices. I forgot what I was going to say before.
Oh dear,
that.
Sorry.
Damn it. It's all right.
I've ruined your flow, Matthew.
Oh no, my flow's gone.
My flow. No,
it does. Oh no, I was going to say, of course, like one of the reasons I'm not necessarily that bowled over by owning Horizon is I'm still planning on sticking to this I'm going to play a lot less games next year thing. And so,
oh, it's even more reason to pick it up now, though.
No, but I mean,
get it played. And
to be honest with you, if I am going, like, we are approaching the end of November.
December
is almost upon us. And obviously, other than Game Boy stuff, I'm hoping, well, I've said I'm not going to play games next year. I'm probably going to pick up one or two just to have. And if I end up playing Ni No Kuni 2 with Martha, I might do that. But here's the caveat to that. Is like, at the moment, we're watching a lot of Netflix, obviously. And she loves Studio Ghibli stuff. We both really enjoyed playing Ni No Kuni together. And the only reason we stopped is because I forgot to back up the save from your PS3.
Oh, then, I mean, I still... Do I have that? No, I deleted it.
No, you went ages and ages ago. But like, so that happened. And then we were like, oh, well, let's not restart this. We were like 12 hours in, but that's fine. Because we were playing it together and it was nice, but I had already beaten it. And I was like, you know what? The story in this game's all right, but it's not the greatest story. And she was kind of... in all honesty, like, we had more fun playing like Yoshi's Woolly World than we did playing Ni No Kuni together. But because the second one is a new game, we're like, well, maybe we'll pick it up. And through that respect. I don't mind watching her play it if I haven't played it and we can flick back and forth the controller.
Mm-hmm.
But the benefit of that is...
So she'll play it if you don't have to.
No. The benefit of that is, as you've seen yourself, like when I get full into a game, I get full into a game and I do very little else.
Yeah.
And, you know, that can be at the detriment, as I found this year, of doing the biographic videos or doing other things.
Mm-hmm.
And I've not really played games now for almost a month. And I've just found myself doing a lot more things I enjoy and a lot more variety.
Everything's balance in life.
Yeah. And so I'm like, well, okay, if we do play through this together, then I'm not going to sit on my ass and just play Ni No Kuni for hours on end.
You're going to play it for maybe a couple of hours.
We're going to play it for maybe an hour or two a week, and then that'll be that.
Sounds like a plan. Yeah. Sounds very good, Matthew.
And obviously I'm going to pick up Yakuza 6 because I want those sweet glasses. So
yes. Have you seen the other edition you can get of that?
Which
one? The art book. There's one with an art book and one with the glasses.
One with the glasses also comes with the art book.
Oh, does it?
It's like tiered, so there's a regular version of that game you can buy. There's one with an art book.
Oh, then
and
the
then there's one with the art
and
book
glasses.
And the glasses, which is the one I pre-ordered.
Right.
Yeah. So if I am going to play any games this year, they will probably be, if I am going to get anything for the PS4, Uncharted Lost Legacy, because I played the Uncharted games going into this year, and so I thought it would be quite fun for that to be the last thing I play this year.
Black Friday sales.
Yeah. Even cheaper
games.
When you borrow it from your neighbour.
Oh.
So I've got that sitting there. I would like to play Assassin's Creed.
Oh, Origins.
I have
You are a fan of Assassin's Creed, aren't you?
I love
played
Assassin's
through
Creed.
All of them up to a certain point.
I've played through all of them with the exception of Rogue and Liberation. Rogue being the 360 PS3
then?
One. I played Syndicate through. I loved it.
Oh.
I played bits of Unity, but to be honest with you, I didn't really like it. And even though they'd fixed a lot that was wrong with it at launch, I didn't need to play it. Mm. It didn't really feel like that much of a step forward through Black Flag. Yeah, running through the jungle.
Forests.
Yes, trees and stuff. Jungle is more Black Flag. Running through trees, jumping off things, tomahawking people, etc. So yeah, like, those are the big two games that are there that I'm like, okay, if I'm going to buy and play something, it will be them.
Mm.
Assassin's Creed was only like 350 krona on the Black Friday sale. Mm. But to be honest with you, I really want to play Night in the Woods.
Yeah.
Which, like I said, I'm getting a lot out of. And I still really, really want to play Pyre, which is the game by Supergiant.
Oh, yes, the one you mentioned like every week.
Yeah, and I've resisted buying it so far, and I'm just like, you know what? I'm actually going to buy that.
You need to get that one.
There's also a game for the Switch that the name escapes me that I'll talk about next week that I want to get because I will have played it by then.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wondered, actually, if I can get your opinion on this latest batch of higher, more powerful consoles that have been released recently. So the
Xbox One X
is pretty
the PS4 Pro.
Current still, isn't it? And then I know this online, there's been a lot of talk about are these things worth getting? You know, and it all very much depends on if you're ready to upgrade to a 4K television. Isn't it? How do you feel about it? Is that something you're interested in?
Not really,
to be perfectly honest. I'm not either. But there must be a lot of people who are things to be as successful as I think they've been so far, haven't they?
There's a market for them. They're selling okay.
Mm.
I don't think they're setting the world alight the same way that, you know, like a slim PS2 might have, like later in the life. Because they're not... Yes, they are better in terms of what they can do visually and their output and space even. Mm. They've got bigger hard drives. And the comparison I make to the Slim comes out of the fact that this is a console iteration that comes further down the line. However, I believe that the iterations of things like the Game Boy Advance SP or the Slim, generally, as well as proving the quality of life for the consumer, i.e. a slimmer console, or in the case of the SP...
Sony and Microsoft have both already done with the PS4 and Xbox One.
Yeah, yeah. They have done an iteration on them. You've got the Xbox One S and you've got the... PS4 Slim.
Mm. What interests me about that is the One S actually has a few more nice features than the PS4 Slim does for, I think, a very similar price.
Yeah, yeah.
It's got that HDR. It's got a 4K Blu-ray player.
Yeah.
which seems to be the major selling point. If you've got a 4K telly, you want a
4K Blu-ray player. Yeah.
So in that respect, I think the One S seems like better than the PS4 Slim for value, at least. And then you've got the One X, which has also got this more powerful processor, which is proving it does native 4K as opposed to what the checkerboard 4K that I hear the PS4 Pro does.
It's upscaling, right?
Upscaling it, that's right. So this would, on one hand, make it seem that Microsoft have probably got the better two consoles.
Yeah,
in terms of features and power.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if there's enough of a difference. It, I mean, for playing 4K Blu-rays, yes, that's great with the S. But in terms of actually getting enjoyment out of the game, does it give that much more value?
Yeah, and that's,
this is the question. You can have a fantastic experience with both versions of the PS4, and I think the Pro is very comparable to the X from what I hear.
Yeah.
You know, it's just it's not true 4K, so those who really are very tech-savvy will know to be able to notice that.
This is what I hear anyways. Yeah,
but for most people, I think they probably won't.
No, they probably won't. No. And I mean, that's the thing for me is... Why I brought up the SP and why I brought up the Slim is, as you say, the console iterations that, other than being more visually attractive, genuinely offered a lower price point, which is what the Slim and the S do. They are slightly lower than the original price of the console and obviously will go down as time progresses. The Xbox One S and the PS4 Pro, as you're saying, are One X and
it
the
sounds so
Pro.
Similar, don't they? S and it does. X.
Which is something everyone keeps talking about, and I do think...
SX tricky. SSX.
Oh, man. It is. Shit. That's going to be the name of this episode. Xbox SX tricky. Yes. Oh, Tom Parry, you're a genius. Tricky. I'm going to write that down on the back of your picture of...
He hasn't got a name. You don't name your...
No, you don't name your OC. Yeah, that's a shame. There we go. I've written that down.
Although it is SSX tricky.
Yeah, shh. It's all right. Train of thought was, these consoles are for the higher end consumer. You know, usually I would be...
Because both of us are people who are massively into video games.
Yeah.
We play quite a lot of video games, especially yourself. And you'd think that we'd be the market for it. But it's maybe more those tech guys who want to have the latest tech.
Right.
Perhaps.
Okay.
Would you say?
So, like, I would class myself more so than perhaps you as an early adopter. I do like getting new technology. I like having new versions of things. And sometimes when I do genuinely see a benefit of having, say, a newer console or a newer phone, I will go, okay, cool, I will buy that.
There are those who buy every iteration of a console.
Yes.
I'm sure there must be.
Yeah, of course there are. Yeah. I admittedly, I've never really been that person. Yes, I upgraded my original Game Boy Advance to a nicer one, and eventually I upgraded my DS to a DS Lite.
I have upgraded my 3DS.
Yes.
I felt that was considerably different because I got the XL, where I only had the little one before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there is some precedent for us doing this.
Yeah.
However, I genuinely do believe, like, I haven't got a 4K TV, which is perhaps the biggest thing in all of this.
Because it ends up getting very expensive when you consider how much a 4K television
it does,
especially
if you want, like, an OLED. Like, they are very, very expensive. Yeah. And that's one factor. Obviously, I bought a Sony Bravia TV when I moved into this apartment almost 3 years ago. And the functionality between the TV and the PS4 itself is even great because the remote works on both. So I can turn on and go through the menus and stuff with just the remote control.
Also, if you're not someone who may be big into movies as well, I can see the advantage of 4K television if you are buying 4K Blu-rays and you collect movies. If you're just playing games, then I don't see the value as much. Maybe.
No, and this is the thing, right, is that obviously what you need to bear in mind is, as well as us being very into games and obviously liking what is coming up, you and I can both quite comfortably play a PlayStation 1 game or an NES game or an Atari 2600 game.
It's more difficult to play them on a HD television.
Yeah, of course. And I admittedly, I've purchased a FrameMeister to do this now.
Yeah.
But we are not necessarily bothered by playing PS1, PS2 games. Mm. In the same way that one of our colleagues, Martin, is, for example. Mm. He bought Skyrim HD Collection for the PS4, mm. put it in, and was like, no, the graphics look rubbish. I don't want this. Mm. I genuinely do think someone like him, who even that upgrade between a generation mm. was very off-putting for him that he didn't want to play it, mm-hmm. would perhaps benefit from getting an Xbox One X or a PS4 Pro. Mm. I do genuinely believe that there is that niche of gamer, the same way that when you used to have school ground arguments about the PS2 versus the Xbox versus the GameCube, mm. which one has the better graphics, mm. that there are people out there who do want that visual fidelity that mm. these consoles can offer.
Yeah.
But for me, as I have long stated, the reason I play games has never been graphics. Mm. It has always been story, and more so, I'm realizing lately, just pure gameplay. Mm-hmm. So I don't really care. And
we're also at a point where there isn't massive leaps. You know, we're not saying like a new console comes out and it's head and shoulders above the rest, because both the Xbox One and the PS4, well, they do some amazing things.
Yeah.
It's not quite the same leap as we had in the past. You know, the PS3 and the original Xbox 360, and the Xbox 360, sorry, yeah. they do still stand up very well today.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think that's something to take into account as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would agree with you.
They're still very good-looking consoles, and we still play PS3 and Xbox 360 games today on these new hardware.
Yeah. Mm. And to be honest, like listening to a lot of podcasts, as I do around video games, the main reason I wouldn't buy the Xbox One X at the moment, or the PS4 Pro for that matter, mm. the PS4 Pro less so than the X, I will admit, if I'm going to upgrade one of them, yeah. it will be the Xbox. Mm-hmm. It seems that like Gears of War 4 was one of the main titles that yes. launched alongside this.
Yes.
However, you have the yeah, option of better frame rate or better graphics. You don't even have both.
You don't have both, which is the most laughable thing about this situation.
And
isn't
also,
it?
The download apparently for Gears of War 4, if you were to download this thing fresh, is around like 200 gigabytes.
That's crazy.
Which is insane.
Well, the original was nearly 100 gigabytes, I think.
Yeah. But like, you know, just for upgraded textures and stuff,
this is the thing
I don't see the benefit.
It's never taken into account, is it? You know, the hard drives on these things still aren't that big.
No.
Not especially to account for having a few games. We're constantly bombarded with, you got to buy the latest game and this and that. Here's your free Xbox Live Gold games. There's no way you're going to fit them all on there. And the amount of time you have to wait for things to install
yeah.
is getting pretty ridiculous. Say yeah. you bought a 1X with something like Gears of War 4. You know, you're going to wait a while to actually get to play that game. Mm-hmm. You got to update. I guess the hardware had an update when it first came out, I think. And then you've got the game to install. So,
like the more pressing concern for me is... especially with things are going in the US, have you been aware of any of the net neutrality stuff that's currently trying to be passed in the US?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah, I have heard about this.
For those of you at home that haven't, mm. essentially in the US, as well as some cable providers introducing data caps, mm-hmm. so to say, same way on a mobile phone, mm. hey, you only get 10 gig of download yeah. this month. If you go over that, you will pay per gigabyte.
Mm-hmm.
Certain legislators in the US have been saying that essentially they've drafted up a bill that would allow cable providers, i.e. your Comcasts and these bigger companies that provide broadband internet and TV in the US, mm. could theoretically limit your access to the internet and divide it into categories. So say you wanted to use Spotify, they could say, okay, well, that's a music streaming service. For an extra $5 a month, you will need to pay us $5 to access music streaming services. That's on top of your Spotify, so mm. you could end up paying an extra $15 a month on top of your regular broadband access to allow you to do that. And the doomsday scenario that a lot of people have been presenting around this is, well, phones in Portugal already do this. In Portugal, there is no net neutrality. So the way they do it in Portugal is essentially... film streaming is in one category, music streaming is in another category, social medias are in one category, regular web access, as in web pages, is in another one, and e-commerce is in a completely different category.
What about
five.
Downloading a game? Where does that fit in?
online gaming is its own category and is generally in the highest tier.
It will be. I guess it's one of the most demanding.
Because it is the most demanding.
Sending a lot of information there. Yeah.
But also in Portugal, they have a data cap. So you will pay for those five services I've already mentioned. So you, first of all, you would have to probably pay around 40, 50 euros to be in the highest category to allow you to play games online.
Yeah.
Then, from what I saw on the thing that was posted, you would have to pay an extra $5 for those five things. So, say you wanted to be able to use Amazon, that would be $5. Say you wanted to be able to just browse the internet, like Reddit, that would be $5. Access to Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat would also
These
be an additional $5.
Services must hate this idea, though, because people are just going to opt out of using a particular service. Should they be charged extra for it?
Potentially.
Yeah, I don't want to use Amazon anymore because I have to pay to use it.
But I mean, like, it's all e-commerce. So it's, I want to
shop,
on the internet. I want to use eBay. I want to be able to go to Etsy. I want to be able to go to God knows where.
That's
all of that you have to pay £5 a month for.
Unless you're an Amazon Prime, maybe.
No, and even then.
No, but I imagine that maybe they could do work around it.
I'm sure, you know, like when you sometimes, Marta, my fiance at the moment, has a thing with her phone data.
Mm-hmm.
Where, because she's on a certain phone provider in Denmark, Twitter and Facebook are free. They will never use up any of her internet data cap.
Yeah, I say it seems to be the same with this.
Yeah.
I think. I really don't know.
So that's fine. Like, there are ways around it, but then
Facebook Messenger seems to work without.
How does that work in a world where, you know, that obviously Facebook is competing for your time the same way that everyone else does?
Mm.
Surely that leads to monopolies.
Oh, it's a scary world, isn't it?
The companies who can afford to go to cable providers, like, look, we'll pay the $5 a month so they can access.
This is defeating the idea of the internet. It's open area.
It is. And it's scary as fuck.
Yeah.
Because obviously, like, within the
privatizing the internet.
Mm-hmm. Within the EU, there are legislations in place, and changing most laws in the EU, for better and for worse, generally requires the approval of the 19 countries.
Yeah.
So they need to go yes, and then, generally speaking, if one or two of them say no, that's weighed upon about whether that's a big enough thing for the EU to accept or deny it. Obviously, with other laws, that can sometimes be a pain in the ass. Like, if they wanted to legalize alcohol in a certain way across all European countries, then that would cause a bigger kerfuffle and whatever. And that's why things like internet neutrality in Europe, at least, seem to be relatively safe. My concern is Tom Parry, as a British citizen, who's currently leaving Europe, and the European Union has prevented us from introducing snooper charters and this kind of thing in the UK. Will we follow the US now that we're not going to be part of the EU and start charging people to use Facebook and Netflix and all the rest of it?
Wow, the government does seem to have its eye on the internet, doesn't it?
It does.
From the... what was it when Cameron was... came in and he set up some stuff, didn't he?
Like, yes.
You had to unlock your internet if you wanted to do certain things online.
Yeah, I mean, there's they tried to ban pornography,
like,
which is a big
parental
thing in the UK. Yeah, and to be honest with you, like, even I've seen
locks
now through Sky, which my parents has, anything that they consider adult content, which admittedly is also some video game websites, you cannot access until after 9 o'clock unless you ring Sky and say, hey, I want to access these websites, please. Which is insanity.
It's ridiculous. It really is.
Yeah. So that's a thing. Like,
and I don't understand it either.
Well, I mean, you don't, Tom, because you want to be able to access these things.
As an adult, you want to be able to not be under a parental sort of lock, you know. You are an adult, and I understand maybe shielding children from things which could scare them or whatever. But when you're an adult, you shouldn't have to ask for permission from the government to do.
No, but
you
I mean,
do.
Like, that then comes down to each household setting curfews and all that.
And then it becomes Big Brother, doesn't it?
It does.
At this point,
it does become 1984, and that's kind of the scary thing about this is, as we have become a bigger, world. There are less barriers now. We can talk and trade with people across country lines very easily, thanks to the internet. It has made the internet of things. Globalization has happened in that regard. We're seeing, obviously, lots of... God, this has gone off the topic of video games. I apologize. We're seeing lots of people who are becoming very much about their own nation, about their own county and their own street, and that's fine. Like, a rejection of some aspects of globalization for me is okay. It, not everything needs to be the same in every country in every way. You don't need a Starbucks on every street corner. It's fine. Like, I'm fully in support of local businesses. I'm fully in support of the idea of a national identity of, okay, cool, we are a Christian nation. We are, I don't know, anything. Any declaration of saying, okay, as a British person, as a Danish person, this is what we believe Danish values are, and not to enforce them and go, well, if you don't like them, get out. But to say, okay, these are our things, we'll accept that. We're going to hang Christmas lights, or we're going to, every Sunday, the shops would be closed because of religious holidays or whatever. None of these things I believe in, but you get the point. Like, you can say these things without fear of offending people, I believe. That being said, though, net neutrality is a way that people are taking advantage of this idea of a nation or an idea of British people or of the idea of just people belonging to something and going, okay, cool, well, we're going to police that. And I completely disagree with it, especially having such an open and free internet. Like, you see the possibilities of it. It does give consumers choice. It does give you access to information. It does give you an ability for a broader understanding of the world and your place within it.
Yes.
And, you know, for me, a lot of that comes through talking with people online on forums about video games. I learned a lot about myself and I learned a lot about the world through chatting with people in Mexico and in Finland and stuff while playing Final Fantasy and Phantasy Star Online back in the day.
Yeah, it creates a global culture.
It does. And
which is important.
You know,
no, we can't be kind of segregated into our little countries.
No, definitely. I mean, that's not to say that I don't think you can have an idea of what you as a British person like and dislike. But at the same time, you need to realize that there are other people out there in the world and that you should, there are things of their culture you can choose to embrace if you want to, or choose to reject otherwise, and that's fine. But playing video games is kind of a common denominator, right? Like, it is a thing.
Huge industry.
You know, even if you can't necessarily speak the same language as someone, you can play video games and you can have a good time because there are rules of the game that are enforced in a way that there aren't in other bits of society. It's why people can play football, even if, I don't know, like people from Portugal or people from, I was going to say Brazil, but they spoke a language of Portuguese. People from, like, Spain played Russia.
Yeah.
Those people may not be able to speak Spanish, they may not be able to speak Russian, they may not even be able to speak English, but they can play football together. It's the same with video games.
Yeah.
And net neutrality is a scary thing. I vow anyone listening who's in the US to maybe write your local Senate and Congress people about this and say, hey, like, this isn't on. This isn't what I want. This is not what I believe in as a person voting for you. You should fight this. Otherwise, I won't vote for you and I'll vote for someone else. In the UK, I would say that, hey, you should perhaps keep an eye on these things because Theresa May has tried to enforce this kind of thing before. She has tried, as I said, with the banning of pornography to try and control
conservative government. Yeah,
yeah, but her especially. Like, it was Theresa May who tried to pass the bill on banning pornography before she was even prime minister.
I thought that was Cameron. That she was
she spearheaded that.
Okay,
but it's also, if this does become an issue when the UK does eventually leave Europe for Brexit, then please try and fight against this. Try and make your voice heard. Try and write to your local government and say, hey, I don't believe in this. Yeah. Like, please fight against this.
Yeah, and we are the resistance, and we can't let Robotnik take over the world.
Exactly, man. Sonic Forces. Bringing it back around! Okay, right, that
got
awfully
freaking serious. Tom Matt Attack discussing the hard issues.
I'm going to eat a Welsh cake
that
now.
Do affect gaming.
Ooh.
You know, there is a relation here. So that's very good. I think we've touched on an area we've never really done before, have we?
Got to
we've
dust
not,
off
we've
my
not
soapbox.
Gone there before.
No.
So it's very, very eloquent. Description of current events.
Yeah, exactly. Fun and games, but yeah. On that note.
On that note, there's a couple of things I forgot to mention.
Oh, really?
So I got my copy of Double Dragon Advance.
Okay.
It's a copy.
Oh, really? Shit.
I'm not going to bother sending it back at this point because I can play the game. The game is on a cartridge. I can play it. The only difference being is there's a little introduction saying whoever hacked it. But, yeah.
You should tell them about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how much a hacked version of the game is worth.
Nothing. Nothing. You know what
you
I mean?
You pay like... £28 with postage for a game, which is actually not a genuine game. It's a copy of a game.
Yeah, you should write them. They should be aware of this. They can't sell illegal copies of a game through trading standards. That's a bad thing.
Yeah.
You know, this is something that does affect Game Boy Advance games a lot.
It does, yeah.
It's something why, to be honest, I don't buy Game Boy Advance games over the internet anymore because I've been hit with so many fakes, especially through things like CEX. Mm. I would write them and say, hey, this is actually not a good copy of this game. Can I send it back and get a refund?
I don't know if I want to, though, because I've got the game now.
Oh, but I guess you have.
And otherwise, I might never have the game, so...
Yeah, fair.
Yeah, that's how my mind's working.
You can get
at
a flash cart, though, and then you can get the game for free, technically speaking.
I guess it looks like the game.
Yeah, it looks and acts like the game. Does it need to save at all?
That's the thing. No, I don't think it does.
Good.
Because Kirby, I've got a hacked version of Kirby.
And then it doesn't save
it doesn't
because
save.
The battery sucks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Anyway, do what you're comfortable with.
What else did I get? Fire and Ice for the Amiga platform game. You know it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, got that, finally. It was on my list of Amiga games to get.
That is actually the sequel to Solomon's Key.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's also on the NES.
Yeah.
It's Fire and Ice.
Very nice. Very nice. Fire and Ice. And lastly, Combat Cars for the Mega Drive, which is a overhead
racing
game.
Wow, really?
Yeah, with weapons made by Accolade, who did Bubsy. So let's see how good it is.
Oh boy. Okay, I'd be curious to see how that is because I was very into the idea of something that would be top down and slightly full auto meets Micro Machines. But then you mentioned Accolade, so now I'm not too
full
sure.
Full auto. That's a game I'd like to. Play actually. I never played Full Auto. You used to play.
I like Full Auto. I seem to be the only one.
Yeah. It was. I think it was featured on an episode of what's that show where they talk about games?
There's many of them.
GameSack.
Yes.
GameSack. Right. That's how I found out about Combat Cars. Actually.
Oh, okay.
And they covered Full Auto as well. Gave it quite a nice review.
I like Full Auto. Yeah. It seems to get a lot of hate. Like I've brought up to many people. About Full Auto, and they've gone, oh, that game's terrible. And I'm like, no, it isn't.
So
I really
check that out.
It.
Along with A Night in the Woods, check out Full Auto. Give Sonic Forces a go if you're a little bit on the fence about it.
Yeah.
I like it. I think it's a fun game.
And yeah.
Just right, don't go looking for
right,
a big challenge.
Right, your senators and congressmen. Jesus, I can't believe we got that deep on this podcast. Anyways, I'll bring that to an end now that it's all lighthearted. I apologise for... getting on a soapbox.
180!
If you would like to write us, especially about these things, albeit video games or real life things, you can do so in a variety of places. You can do so at TMAcast on Facebook at facebook.com/TomMattAttack, as well as in the comments of blastprocess.com and TomMattAttack.com/podcast.
Do we get comments there?
Eventually. We will, because sometimes we do. Occasionally, we do get comments on the website. A lot of the times, it's just spam going like, wow, you've written is really insightful. You should click on this link. And
insightful.
I click
this
on that
week.
Link every time, and then I seem to lose access to my computer and credit card. No. We do. Sometimes we don't. If you would like to share this podcast around, though, you can do so in iTunes, where you can give us a cheeky rate, subscribe, and like I said, give the podcast to someone. It's almost Christmas.
Give it as
it's
a gift.
Season of giving, yeah. Why not give them this long, drawn-out political rant?
Well. I'm going to give them all 180.
180. Okay, I think that's a good note to end on, Tom. Thank you, as always. You enjoy your Welsh cake.
Mm.
But everyone at home, be sure to
game on.